the wall. Is that being recorded now? Thank you. Cracks in the wall. Cracks in the wall is the title of my talk. And if you were struggling to understand what those two gentlemen, those men were talking about, I think I'm allowed to call them gentlemen, what they were talking about, apparently, they've known both men at different stages of their lives. They've known, according to, the measure of the world, they've known a lot of success. They've seen a lot of, known a lot of material wealth. And the older guy was telling the younger one, he was still, active in his combat sport, I should say. That should give you a hint about what the kind of thing they both do. And he was saying, if you've been blessed by God, if God has blessed you, because if you just look at a lot of those athletes, the way they are, some of them, of course, they've had to train really hard, but there's also the bit of genetics and some other factors that they did not control, that this is clearly just God's blessing. You're blessed with all this, the way you look or your physique and all that. And the other guy was saying, if God has blessed you like that, just be sure that the devil will try to come for you. And that older guy talking definitely understands what he was talking about. You can research both of them later, okay? This platform is not to talk about them, but just for us to have an understanding of what they were talking about. Now, there's a proverb, a Nigerian proverb, that says, if there are no cracks in the wall, the lizard won't be able to get in. If there are no cracks in the wall, the lizard won't be able to get in. And for those of us who may not understand what lizards are, they're reptiles, some small, some big, yeah. And usually, they're mostly found outside, but when they find cracks in the wall, don't be surprised, they're going to get in. So that's why we say in my culture, there are no cracks in the wall. You're not going to find a lizard inside your house. The lizard won't be able to get in. Cracks in the wall can do more damage than just lizards or uninvited reptiles caught crawling into one's house. Hence, we spend a lot of money in this church trying to fix cracks. And some of you probably you're noticing one right behind me. And we're looking into fixing that one as well. Not only do they harm the aesthetics of one's interior, but cracks can also indicate serious structural problems that could affect the safety and stability of one's house. And we've checked this one. It's not affecting the structure of our building, but we still got to fix it. In that reading from Luke 22, we read about Judas, one of the disciples of Jesus. If there ever was one so privileged with the opportunity of being a friend of Jesus, it was Judas. He was personally selected by the master. He didn't come by referral. He didn't come to Jesus because a friend talked to him about coming to Jesus. He didn't come to Jesus like many of us because our parents told us about Jesus or our friends told us about Jesus. He came to Jesus because Jesus himself invited him. He was personally selected by the master to be one of his 12 closest confidants. He was discipled along with the 11 key followers of Jesus. By who? By the Lord himself. Not by the Diocese of Southwark. Not by our discipleship program here at St. John's. By Jesus himself. And you know what? He was even appointed by Jesus to be his treasurer. How many of you have got any privilege that close to that of Judas? Probably none of us. But despite all these blessings, there was a big crack in Judas's wall, which he was probably too busy to address. John 12:4-6. John 12:4-6 tells us that Judas had an unhealthy love of money. And you can look at that. You can look that up in your Bibles. John 12:4-6 tells us that Judas often, he often helped himself. From time to time, he takes out the money that he was meant to look after. But how could someone following Jesus around 24/7, listening to Jesus' sermons, messages, parables, directly? At best, what we preachers try to do is to give a second-hand account. But this was someone privileged to listen to Jesus directly. How could someone that privileged still miss the mark as Judas did? How did things get so bad with him that he not only turned his back on Jesus, but also conspired with others for a fee for his master to be arrested? What went wrong? We could try to blame the influence of Satan, for surely we find in this passage that Satan entered into Judas. That's what we read in the passage today, isn't it? The second slide. We read in Luke 22, verse 3, that Satan entered Judas. But if there was no crack, would Satan, would it have been able to enter? Judas remained culpable and morally responsible for many of the little decisions in his life that led him down the road of the major decision to become the chief instigator in the plot to arrest Jesus. And that ultimately led to Christ going to the cross. Judas's spiritual and moral crack, as in the crack in his spiritual and moral life, got bigger and bigger and remained unaddressed, and eventually led to the whole structure collapsing. The crack eventually got so big that the devil was able to fit in. As that gentleman in the video said, the devil goes about. I mean, if you're blessed by God, that's also an invitation for the devil to want to give you his own thing. The devil goes about looking for cracks in people's walls. The devil wasn't put off by the fact that Judas was one of the closest allies of Jesus, the Son of God. The devil wasn't bothered by the fact that Judas was one of the most favored humans on earth to have, to have one of the closest relationships with Jesus. He was one of the most trusted allies of Christ in the days of his flesh. But there was a crack. there was a crack in Judas's life, and that crack, as I said earlier, got bigger and bigger. It was from petty theft, things got bigger, to bigger theft, to unbridled greed, and eventually that led even to more greed and the conspiracy to sell off his Lord and Master. You know, it's easy for us to shake our heads and point our fingers at Judas. But before we start pointing fingers at Judas, shall we examine our own hearts, our own lives? The author, Donald Miller, said, "The mystery of sin is known only to God, and Judas is a warning that none of us is immune from temptation, fall, and cracks in our spiritual walls. None of us. If someone that close to Jesus could fall so spectacularly, then we've got to take heed. The story of Judas should serve as a powerful warning to all of us that whoever thinks they stand must take heed lest they fall." So, what or where are the cracks in your own wall? What and where are the cracks in my own wall? The crack in Judas's life was that he was a lover of money more than a lover of God. So he wanted to sell God to get money, because he was more a lover of money than a lover of God. The crack in Judas's life was unaddressed, and it got bigger and bigger, such that for 30 pieces of silver, Judas would gladly give up his Lord and Savior. You know, like in Judas's case, sin has a way of deceiving us, luring us into complacency and leading us away from God. The cracks in our own wall may not be the love of money like it was in Judas's case, but it may be something else. No one can answer that question for you. Even your closest friends or your closest family members cannot answer, may not be able to answer that question for you. In our first reading from Hebrews, we are warned that the hardening of our hearts, sin's deceitfulness, the widening and widening of that crack in our spiritual and moral wall should be something we watch out for. And because we all don't often see our own blind spots, do we? Because of that, we all have a responsibility to encourage one another. Hebrews 3:13. Encourage one another yesterday, or just last year, or just 3 years ago? No, it says, as long as it's called today, that is, we must not give up on encouraging one another. If I'm going off the track, walk up to me, say something, tell me of your concern. And vice versa. We all have a responsibility to deliberately watch out for one another because of the deceitfulness of sin. Sin has a way of starting small and allowing those cracks to get bigger and bigger while we numb to it. And we just become hardened. The deceitfulness of sin as one of the properties is God, is that ability to cause our hearts to get hardened such that we become numb to it. Hence that call for us to encourage one another. Encourage one another. And that's, you know, that underscores the importance of mutual accountability and support of one another in our journey of faith. Hebrews 10, verses 24 to 25 says the same thing, that let us consider to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up church, as some people are in the habit of doing. Did you see that in the Bible? Yeah? Not giving up meeting together. Not giving up church. Not giving up home groups, if you're a member of one. And if you're not a member of one, to consider joining one. As some, he said, as some are in the habit of doing. But what? Encouraging one another. Judas had people all around him. He had the Savior of the world as his mentor. But it seems to me that he never opened up about the crack in his life. So yes, the first stage is not to give up church, not to give up fellowship, not to give up meeting. But then the second point is to be willing to open up. Some of our wrongdoings will be evident to all, will be evident to some people. But some of our wrongdoings or some of our struggles may not be evident. So we have a responsibility to be willing to open up about our struggles, about the cracks. Judas left the crack in his wall unaddressed. And he tried, I'm sure, to hide it from others, until it got bigger and bigger, such that the devil could fit in and take possession of Judas. Just let's think about it for a moment. Do you think it might have made a difference if Judas had spoken to Jesus or even one of his fellow disciples about his inordinate affection when it comes to money? Do you think it will have made a difference? If he says to Jesus, you know what, I think I should resign from this post of a treasurer. I'm struggling with stealing. Or if he says, Peter, could you pray for me? I can't help myself. I love money too much, and I'm actually thinking of taking some money to betray our master. What do you think will have happened if he had done that? Someone will probably have talked him out of it. Say, how ridiculous, Pete. Come on, Jesus. What are you thinking? What's going to you? You know, just think about that and sit with our thoughts for a while. Yeah. And we can talk about that amongst ourselves later on. Now, when we talk about addressing the cracks in our lives, there are issues that by personally seeking wisdom through prayer, meditation, and study of scripture, we may be able to address. But there are other matters that we may just need extra help from others. You know, so when we mention things like prayers here, don't let us feel too arrogant to engage with that. There are weights we may be able to lift on our own, but there are other things that you may just need extra help from others. Let us therefore try to surround ourselves with wise mentors and friends who can offer guidance and support. And when they try to offer the guidance and support, let us be real. Let us be willing to open up. Let us humbly acknowledge our limitations and be open to learn from others and gain encouragement from others. I'm not saying that we should start parading our struggles all over social media, or we should be flippant about those we share our matters with. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying instead is that where we can be helped through prayers and encouragement and the wisdom of others, let us genuinely engage with such wisdom. Let us be willing to engage with prayer and godly wisdom. Let us take advantage of things like that. And smaller groups like home groups and prayer groups are great in that, you know, in that regard. You know, let's try and not bear the weight alone, but let's be sensible, yes, in the way we share. But as Christians, this journey of faith is not meant to be, we're not meant to walk this journey all by ourselves. No. So if you are a Christian, if you're a member of this church, and let's say you're relocating to Australia, or, you know, your work takes you to another city, one of the first things you need to do is to look for a church when you get there. That should be one of the first things we should do, because we're not designed to walk this journey of faith all by ourselves. We're not. You will be strong some days, but there'll be other days that, you know, we may not just be strong enough. Thinking about the stupidity of wanting to walk alone and segregation and trying to be in our individual silos, Martin Luther King famously said, "We must live together as brothers or perish together as fools." We must be willing to engage with one another or perish together as fools. As Christians, we must endeavor to encourage one another, help one another in fixing the cracks in one another's wall. And you know what? The person you help today to help fix the crack in their own wall may be the same person who will help you tomorrow to fix the crack in your own wall. We must do our best to encourage collective worship, but also helping to fix the crack in each of our spiritual and moral walls. Let us make it a habit to help nurture the spirit of those who are struggling amongst us. Let us begin to see the struggle as of one, as the struggle of all. No follower of Christ in proximity to us should feel they have to walk alone. Even some of our football clubs get that. You should not walk alone. So let's celebrate with those who celebrate, but also be willing to struggle with those who struggle. Let's try to help one another in fixing, in mending those cracks in our walls without judgment or holier than thou attitude. May God help us all.
You probably don't need